Your supply chain is only as good as its weakest link. Unfortunately, this title is sometimes held by the transportation providers you utilize, companies you rely on to help you deliver for customers. Without a well-rounded network of carriers, meeting your business goals will be a constant struggle. Which raises the question, why is it so difficult to maintain a network of reliable companies? Perhaps most importantly though, what key performance indicators should you monitor each provider on to ensure the overall health of your logistics supply chain? I'm your host, Eli Simonson, and in this episode of Beyond the Road, let's talk to Derek, a sales director with ATS Logistics, for some insight into which transportation KPIs truly matter and what, if anything, you can do to improve your company's partnerships going forward. Stick around. Welcome back to this episode of Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast where we talk all things transportation and logistics. Joining me today is Derek Gertkin. Derek is a sales director with Anderson Trucking Service Logistics, our freight brokerage division here at ATS. Derek, thanks for being here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. You recently experienced a role change at ATS. Was it a role change really, or was it more, it was a promotion?
Yeah, so I just took a sales director role here at ATS. So I was able to transition from more of a support role, training, working with some of our outside managers, to now being in charge of a handful of our outside offices.
Right, so ATS Logistics has the corporate office in St. Cloud and then multiple locations around the United States, which you are in charge of kind of overseeing and helping those sales teams?
Yep, that's correct. So ATS Logistics, we have regional offices throughout the country, and I'm in charge of five of them at the moment.
Let's talk about your history in transportation a little bit for the listeners. Why should they care about what Derek has to say? What have you been doing throughout your years in transportation? How long have you been in transportation?
Yeah, so I've been in transportation for 8 years. Oh, wow. I've been mainly customer focused for the duration of that time. So I came to ATS as a national sales representative in 2015. Really, I was working with customers and making sure their needs were being met. ATS was up to their standards and making sure it was a good partnership both ways. So I've been able to, you know, work with a lot of customers and get a good understanding of what they're looking for in a provider. But also kind of been able to define what a good provider looks like in the eyes of our customers. And, you know, we're working every day to meet those expectations. So I was a sales rep for about a year and a half when I started my career here. After that, I had an opportunity to start a new sales team at our corporate office. And I had that role for about 5 years as a sales team manager. And then I've been working as a director role, or as a director for our outside offices for about 2 years now, right, between two different roles.
So as a sales rep at a company like ATS Logistics, it's pretty cool, right? Because you get to experience a lot of different things and move a lot of different kinds of freight. Would you agree with that? Did you see a lot of things when you were on the sales floor?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think you see everything from, you know, large, oversized, over-dimensional opportunities to, you know, legal dry van loads or reefer opportunities. So as a sales rep, you are running into new situations, new modes, new chances to learn every single day. And I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things about the position is no 2 days are the same. And you really have that flexibility to pursue what interests you and, you know, what create your own destiny, really.
We're going down the rabbit hole a little bit here, but did you have a favorite transportation service to work with? Did you prefer reefer to dry van or heavy haul to open deck?
That's a good question.
Just love it all.
I think there's different things I liked about different customers.
Sure.
I like the challenge of the oversized freight. I like, I loved working with oversized, over-dimensional, just because
it's more of a puzzle at that point.
Yeah.
It's a project.
Exactly. A lot of problem solving, thinking about things differently, trying to be creative and problem solve and all those good things that make the role fun.
Well, I'm glad to have you here to talk about KPIs, key performance indicators, and how to evaluate the performance of your network. Through your 8 years in transportation, Derek, I'm sure that you have been evaluated plenty by your customers and your managers and stuff. So let's talk about these KPIs that you see most commonly as a transportation provider that you feel like are important for people that are managing their network, those people in those roles that are responsible for overseeing the carriers they are using at their company, these KPIs that are most common. I've got a list of them written here, and I think we should just knock them out one by one. The first one is on-time performance and all those metrics concerning on-time performance. Maybe that's on-time delivery, on-time departure, those kinds of things. The second is tender acceptance and rejections, right? Those play a major role in, I think people will find, in their ability to facilitate their supply chain and deliver on those customer commitments, and then also the rates that they pay, actually. Those tender rejections can play a role in that. Pricing accuracy, right, especially on spot rates, right up front, being able to price a load accurately into the future, that's an important KPI. Mm-hmm. Invoice accuracy, so that's something that's maybe a little bit less tangible and a little bit something that you might not think of right off the bat, but that's another indicator of the proficiency of your transportation provider. And then the last one here is just those intangible KPIs, right? Their expertise, how easy they are to work with, and then their willingness to adjust and compromise and help you where you're needed. So you agree with all those?
Yeah, I think that's a good list to start with. You know, obviously there are more, you know, and there's some that get really specific to different industries, but I think that's a good list everybody can relate with, regardless of the industry. So I guess just jumping into on-time performance, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but really we're just looking at the on-time pickup, on-time departure, on-time delivery. I guess the ability of a carrier to meet the requirements of their customer. And so those metrics are measured, and really the percentage that you're able to meet or hit those requirements is your on-time performance rate. And so as a general rule of thumb, above 90% is typically a minimum threshold. You know, your more higher level carriers are executing at 97-98%.
Wow.
It's definitely a metric that probably gets brought up more than any other, just because it's important to everybody's business. You know, late pickups, deliveries all come with a cost. And so it's in everybody's best interest to be working with carriers that are the most accurate with their pickups and deliveries. So
yeah. And when it comes to measuring that on-time performance, how frequently should companies be looking at those things with their carriers? Or does it come down to the volume of freight they're moving? Or?
Yeah, I think it does depend on the volume that they're moving. But, you know, pretty typically we'll see quarterly KPIs that will come through. Depending on the size of the customer, maybe that's happening quarterly. Or, you know, hopefully there is an annual discussion too, but for sure monthly or at least quarterly, it should be something that's watched. And, you know, there's definitely carriers or shippers out there that are monitoring much more frequently than monthly as well, depending on the volume.
So if you have a trucking company or a transportation provider that is not meeting these on-time performance metrics or these goals you've set for them, I mean, that, especially in like a single scenario or a one-off scenario, you wouldn't be just abandoning that company, right?
Typically not. I mean, I guess to take a step back and really look at KPIs and why we care about them is they're all just leading indicators on the overall performance. But I think the important thing to remember is that with KPIs, there's never one metric that tells the full story. It's always, you know, there's always a lot going on in the background. So I think understanding what's impacting the KPIs. So for on-time delivery, as an example, just looking at the different factors that are impacting that. Is it a planning issue? Is it something that's happening in transit? Or is there just a miscommunication happening between the, you know, the carrier and the customer? So, and there's more factors obviously than that, but just those three things alone can make a huge impact on your carrier's ability to hit their on-time delivery. And so the KPI is a great, you know, great tool to indicate there's an issue, but typically there's a lot more digging that has to happen to, you know, use that information for something positive.
Right. So shippers that are tracking these things, not only should they be tracking them internally, but they should also be communicating with carriers pretty frequently, asking them, okay, hey, your on-time delivery this month was only, let's say, 85%. What happened on these however many loads? and how can we optimize going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the KPIs, any KPI really should be a tool. It should be something that we can easily reference and you know, make decisions based on that. And it should all be working together to make the experience as best possible for our customers.
Let's jump over to tender acceptance and rejections. Mm-hmm. What is a tender? Let's just define this quickly. So what does a tender acceptance mean?
Yep. So this is typically something that's right now it's extremely important and gets talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But it typically is most important on contract freight, so high volume lanes or shippers, and they're just tracking the percentage of loads that are accepted based on how many were sent. So if 10 loads were sent over a 1 week period and your team accepted 8, you have an 80% acceptance rate. And so this is something that as the market becomes tighter and capacity shrinks, the tender acceptance tends to fall, and vice versa. If capacity loosens, we tend to see tender acceptance come up in those times. So I guess the reason why this is important right now is, you know, your rates as a shipper are only as good as the carrier's ability to follow through on them, right? So if I commit to volume and at a certain rate, but I'm not accepting that, that is not helping my customer,
right?
When I, you know, committed to a certain capacity, and when other opportunities come up, if my team is not fulfilling our commitment to my contract, you know, that's something that should be discussed between me and our customer. So, like I mentioned, this is talked about quite a bit right now, especially a couple months ago when the market was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
You know, we had really high rejection rates. And so when that tends to happen, carriers begin to reevaluate their networks. And, you know, you want a carrier that's going to follow through on the commitment they make to the freight. And so that's really what the tender acceptance rate is tracking.
So is the largest thing influencing those rejections just is it just like market competition, and that like that carrier knows that their truck at that exact moment is worth more, or is it
not always? You know, and unfortunately, there's never a crystal ball in transportation, right? And we're doing our best to always gauge how much capacity we expect to be in the market.
Yeah.
But you know, things change really quickly in this industry, also. So sometimes there can be instances where we anticipate there to be capacity in a certain market, and there just isn't that capacity to be used. So that can affect our ability to service lanes. Other times we might have more capacity in a certain market, and you know, we have an influx, and that gives us the ability to accept more than we had initially anticipated. So it can work both ways, and I think it's definitely more than just how much other attractive freight there is, but you know, there's definitely a planning aspect, and market conditions play a huge factor.
Sure. And on the shipper's side, I'm sure that for those shippers that have experienced it and know this, but like maybe for those who haven't, it might be helpful. But like, what happens on their end if a tender is rejected? Should they have backup plan, or?
So typically they'll have it can be different situations, different shippers,
right, yeah.
But common setup is to have a waterfall system where if carrier A rejects or is unable to haul the load, it would waterfall down to carrier B and go through a similar process. And so typically there would be a layer of carriers that would be primary and secondary on the lane, and the load would just cascade through the different vendors. But you know, from a shipper standpoint, the cost to haul that load gets more expensive each layer it falls. So at each time a load is rejected, that's additional cost that the shipper or customer takes on. So you can see why that acceptance rate is so important, because even a small change in the percentage of acceptance can have a huge impact on the cost a shipper or customer is paying.
Yeah, I remember reading a study when I was writing an article on tender acceptance, which I will link in the show notes below. But it says something about like how companies that experience tender rejection that on that first solution that they've lined up end up paying something in the range of like 10 to 15% more just to move that shipment.
Yep.
On average. So definitely something to keep in mind. That leads us into KPI number 3, Derek. Pricing accuracy. Your provider's ability to accurately price your freight right up front, so they're not coming back to you at your time of execution asking for a little bit more money.
Yeah. This is something that's probably most important to brokers or, you know, people that are spot quoting freight pretty actively. But yeah, there definitely is an importance to having accuracy on that initial quote, because as most of us know, you know, if you're off on that first quote and you're working with a number that isn't sufficient to move the load, that can cause a lot of issues, whether it's not getting capacity secured or overpaying, which we don't want either of those things to happen. So having a carrier that understands the current market conditions, is familiar with the given area, is able to, you know, confidently secure your capacity or guarantee you capacity is really important. Another part of this that you can measure is measuring accessorials as a percentage of your total freight spend. What some carriers will tend to do is provide a nice upfront rate that looks really attractive, but then throughout the course of the load, there might be some additional costs that come in the form of accessorials. So tracking those accessorials might be a good choice for those type of if your company is encountering that quite often. Monitoring those accessorials might be a good idea, just so you can gauge the true cost of your shipment. If you're working with carrier A, who comes in with maybe it's a higher, strong upfront cost, but they execute without coming back for more money, they might actually be a lower cost option when everything's considered, compared to option B that has a lower cost up front, but is coming back with accessorials and asking for more money throughout the load. So I think those are really important things to consider, looking at the true cost of a load beyond the upfront price that's on the tender.
Sure. And for the most part, are transportation providers able to adjust the way that they're quoting your freight based on what you'd prefer? Like if I'm a company that prefers an upfront all-in cost, or an all-in rate, let's say.
Yeah, I think the important thing is communication, right? And so being upfront with how you want the pricing to be, if you have concerns, the best thing that a shipper or one of our customers can do is to voice those concerns, because otherwise we don't have a way to address them. And honestly, we sometimes just don't know. And
right.
So we always encourage open communications from both sides. Really, we do strive to make it a good experience and make sure we're listening to our concerns of our customers.
Right. Yeah. Like a well-seasoned transportation provider that understands, you know, the commodity that you're moving and the methods that you're using to do that, they'd be able to predict, okay, which accessorials are we going to need on the front end, right? And they'd be able to just price that in.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the ones that are unforeseen,
you know,
and if you don't have defined accessorial costs, sometimes those things can be surprises, and, you know, in transportation, we don't really like surprises, so we try to make things as upfront and visible as possible.
So the majority of the time, you should be able to definitively predict what you're going to be paying based on the quote that you've been given. Like, at the end of the day, you should know what you're going to pay before your load delivers, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if everything goes to plan, a good carrier should be able to give you an accurate cost upfront.
Right, so keep an eye on that, all you shippers out there. All right, that leads us into number four. Big number four is about invoice accuracy. How able your carrier is to maintain an invoice accuracy over time, over an extended period of time. How accurate are their invoices after a month of working with them, you know? Maybe they don't directly reflect the exact transaction that you have on your end.
So I get the main concern with this point is the accuracy of the invoice. So is the information your carrier is sending over in the bill accurate? And does your team need to do more work other than pay the bill?
Right.
I mean, it's a cost that sometimes gets lost, but it's really important to our customers and our shippers to, you know, have the information right the first time, be able to pay their bills quickly, and to work with a customer or carrier that has their correct information up front. So tracking this and the accuracy of the invoice sometimes can tell a story about the carrier.
Sure.
And, you know, how efficient things are moving on the back end and how well put together their operation is. So if you're working with a carrier that constantly has billing issues, then maybe there's more to the story than just the billing issues, and that's just an indicator. But, you know, I guess making it easy on your team to be able to, you know, quickly move a load and get it billed accurately the first time is important. And we're seeing this brought up more and more in our visits and in our onboardings.
Right, it's really important. Like, high quality carriers have systems in place to ensure that customer experience is smooth through the whole process, start to finish. And yeah, definitely those inaccurate invoices should be used as a leading indicator that maybe that carrier isn't as organized as they could be, or didn't take the care that's needed when setting up your account or managing your account.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on the needs of the shipper, we have a lot of customers where the person tendering the freight or in charge of the transportation is also handling the bills and the invoices. So that can create additional burden and stress in an already sometimes stressful environment. Having inaccurate paperwork, it just creates more issues. So if you can have it, you know, squared away and minimize the issues on the front end, it tends to create a much better streamlined long-term relationship with that customer.
Right. Yeah, so stay on top of it if you're getting inaccurate invoices. Something that a lot of people, I'm sure, don't even really consider when they're thinking about KPIs, but it's definitely important. Our final point here are those intangible performance indicators, right? How easy is it to work with this company? What is their level of expertise? Do they seem competent when you're working with them? Are there commonly issues popping up that could have been avoided? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think the best way to look at that is, like, what is the true value that your carrier is providing, right? And there are definitely different degrees of skill when it comes to different providers. And, you know, I think the main things, you already touched on some of it, is just the ease to work with the carrier.
Yeah.
The experience or the expertise they bring to the table. Is that carrier able to give good coaching, give good advice, save us on costs in the front end by providing us some additional ideas? Those types of relationships are the ones that are long-term, are fruitful, but those are the ones we strive to have with our customers, with a good back and forth that we are able to provide value and just build those personal relationships. Like you said, a lot of times those things are hard to quantify, but you tend to recognize them when they're there.
So, right, yeah. Good business is good business. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What exactly does an easy carrier to work with? What does that look like for a shipper?
Yeah, I think it's about good prompt communication. So okay. Working with a provider that can get back to you quickly, answers your questions, is honest, doesn't tell you what you like to hear, but probably tell you what you need to hear. Sometimes can maybe challenge the process a little bit in order to make things run better, you know, in the long term. But yeah, I think a good two-way relationship and just that ability to hear the needs of the customer and then to adjust to make things move better. I mean, there should be continual improvement and, you know, a true partnership to make it a good long-term relationship.
Right. Yeah. You hear that term all the time. It's like developing this partnership with your carriers, which is, you know, really, I think some people might think it's, you know, maybe overstated, but it can't be overstated, that importance of that partnership and then becoming an extension of your supply chain, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. A good relationship should be two ways, right? We should need each other, right? And we really strive to have that.
Cool. So just to summarize our KPIs thus far. So we've got that carrier on-time performance, tender acceptance and rejections, pricing accuracy, their ability to accurately quote you a price up front. Maybe they're not coming back and asking you for more money. That's never convenient. Invoice accuracy, how well are they able to give you proper invoices, and then those intangible KPIs. Okay, how easy is it to communicate with them? How much expertise do they have in-house? Those kinds of things are all very important to monitor. Anything else on KPIs that you feel like we left off this list, Derek?
No, I think it's been a great conversation, and appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Do you want to do our wrap-up question?
Yes. So wrap-up question today is, what is the largest indicator that it might be time to cut a carrier loose and move on as an organization?
That is a great question. When is it time to cut them loose?
I think when it comes to, you know, choosing to part ways with a carrier, I think that there has to be that communication. There has to be attempts to improve, especially when it comes to KPIs, to bring the metrics up to, you know, an acceptable level. But I don't know that there's a cut and dry, this is when it's time to part ways. But I think that if you've made efforts to communicate, you've made your concerns clear, you've worked together to try to write those KPIs, especially the ones that are most critical. Yeah. And if at that point you feel like there's just not synergy or it's not the right partnership, that's probably the right time to maybe look at a different provider.
Sure.
So I would encourage, again, that two-way communication and as much teamwork as possible.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point when we're thinking about KPIs and just setting them initially. Is that a conversation that a shipper should be having with their carrier? Like, oh, hey, what's reasonable on your end?
Yeah, it's pretty standard to have those conversations during the onboarding process. And if it's not, I would encourage it to be part of the onboarding process. You know, there's only one way that a carrier can really meet your expectations, and that's to make your expectations clear up front. And a good shipper or a good carrier will pursue those things and try to get that information from their customer, because as shippers or carriers, we should all be striving to, you know, provide the best service possible. And the only way to do that is by asking good questions, getting good feedback, and constantly trying to make ourselves better.
I think that'll wrap it up for us then, Derek. I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
It's good to be here. First timer. Hope to be back.
Did you enjoy it on Beyond the Road?
Yeah, it's good. These are comfy chairs.
Yeah, make sure to tune in every week. I'm sure we'll have Derek on again at some point. He's got a lot of knowledge up there in that brain of his. You have been listening to Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast produced by Anderson Trucking Service. If you liked what you heard here today, make sure to follow along wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss our next episode, which we publish every Tuesday. If you'd like some more information on those transportation provider KPIs and what you should be thinking about when monitoring your own network's performance, I have put a link to an article in the show notes below that I invite you to check out. For more transportation industry-specific content and information, you will find that on the ATS Inc. Learning Hub at atsinc.com/learninghub, also linked below. On the Learning Hub, you will find a comprehensive library of answers to transportation's most common questions in the form of podcasts, like this one, articles, videos, case studies, infographics, and free downloadable tools, all created to help you become the supplier that always delivers for its customers. Finally, thanks for tuning in today, and I hope to speak to you again soon on another episode of Beyond the Road, the transportation industry podcast.